11 minutes past the hour of 3. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan sahlan wa marhaban bikum. And welcome to On Air Tuition on this Friday afternoon. Alhamdulillah, awesome to be with you. And inshallah, we're going to be on with you up until 4 p.m. Reminder that today we're going to be doing Afrikaans as we've been doing the previous two Fridays. The name is Noman Panjwaya. Hafiz Hanzalah Hafiji joins me in studio, and Brother Ziad behind the scenes. Hafiz Hanzalah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for joining us. If you have any WhatsApps with regards to Afrikaans subject related questions, then you can WhatsApp us at 072-786-1548. Anything you need to know, inshallah. Abu Fatima Zahra Jabi, an educator at Al-Aqsa High School, will be joining us in a few minutes, inshallah. And we're going to be going through Afrikaans as a subject focus on the on-air tuition segment for this lockdown period. So, inshallah, we're going to have Brother Ziad get hold of Abu Fatima. And in the meantime, we're going to be going for a quick break. Abu Fatima Zahra Jabi, currently teaching at Al-Aqsa High School, as well as an impact tutor and an individual who has quite a bit of experience teaching Afrikaans, grade 8 as well as grade 10, so of course the senior and FET phase, joins us on the learning curve. Abu, Jazakallah for your time on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Gee, we can hear you loud and clear, Abu, Jazakallah. Okay, so Abba, we're going to go straight into it. I know last week we actually just started off with paper 1 as well as paper 2. And for those that are listening in, if you do have any WhatsApps, then you can send it through on 072-786-1548. Abba, I think today we're going to have a bit of a larger focus being put on poetry and on poesy, as we would mention it. To start off, what is poesy of Khadakhta?
Jazakallah for asking the question in Afrikaans. I love it. Right, alhamdulillah. Poesy of Khadakhta is the study of poetry and poems. So if we look at poetry, poetry is actually an expressive written form of literature. It is paints a picture for the reader to be able to understand something emotional that the poet is experiencing.
Okay.
So when we look at it, if we take poesy, poesy is just now the Afrikaans version of it. It's the Afrikaans version of your Shakespearean poems, or the Afrikaans version of many emotive types of writing.
Awesome, awesome.
Upper another question, who is Khadakhta Khatut?
The Afrikaans is getting better.
Yeah, we're revising.
That's the manier of Afrikaans, an Afrikaans toets ons gedachte. Ons toets gedachte as a leer, of ons toets dit as a script. So we test them in two ways. We either do them orally, those are the reading activities that you have in class, that when you read poetry. And then we do a written poetry. And I think kids more or less stumble when it comes to the written part of it, more than it does to the oral part. Because with orals, we're just checking your pronunciation of your words, we're looking at how well your flow is, how you've used the rhyming scheme of the poem to give you that rhythm as you read. Because poetry is not just normal reading. Mm. You have to pause and speak up and express differently.
Awesome. Jazakallah so much. Abba, and as touching on poesy, one of the learners already messaging, and of course this is in English. It says, Assalamu alaikum. If Abba Fatima Zahra can please assist me, when it comes to poetry, I find it difficult to find figures of speech. Where do I start? How do I practice?
Okay. So we will touch a little bit later on a lot of other literary devices, right? But the first thing you need to remember is, familiarize yourself with your poet. Now, we know that when you get to the higher grades, we get people like Ingrid Jonker and Achar Fagan and DJ Opperman. Sure. They are the poets that normally get tested from your FET phase. If you are in the lower grade, many of their poems are tested for those grades. Mm-hmm. When you know the poet's style of writing, you know what they're trying to say, whether they're a very literal type of writer or whether they're a very figurative type of writer.
Okay.
And when you normally do this, read your poems first in Afrikaans and then translate them into Afrikaans. I mean, translate them into English.
English.
I'm so used to doing it for the kids. So translate them into English, and then you get a more better feel for it. But remember, some things you can express in a certain language much better than you can in English.
See.
Right? If you look at even our Anashi that we listen to, they're very beautiful, but translate them into English, and sometimes people would say, but that didn't sound as emotive as it did when it was in Arabic.
Mm.
So the same thing happened. So don't kind of falter yourself in that type of way. Then the next thing to do is familiarize yourself. Whatever you learned in poetry in English will appear in Afrikaans poetry. So you get your alliteration, you get your assonance, you get your metaphors and similes and your personifications. And it's just being able to pick the same things out of an Afrikaans poem.
Awesome. Jazakallah so much for that, Abba. And before we even go deeper into poetry, we're going to try and answer the questions that are coming through on WhatsApp.
No problem.
Another one coming through saying, Assalamu alaikum, Abba. Poetry is still fine for me, alhamdulillah. I get a good mark when it comes to letter kanda. But my biggest issue is when it comes to bakhraj stuts as well as tal. I find it difficult. Even the tal is about 10 marks in the paper. But normally I get 1 out of 10. What is the way forward for me to do well in that section?
Okay, so when we talk about, especially when it comes to your tal and bakhraj paper, and we let's focus on the tal part of the question the child is asked.
Sure.
The problem comes is that you learn this beautiful way of doing, say, for example, laden the forum. That's what we touched last.
Sure.
And it's out of 1 mark. So you needing to remember 4 or 5 steps to be able to take that 1 sentence into laden the forum, you must just 1 part of that whole entire step process. And it's marked incorrectly.
Right.
So what I do say to all my children is practice. Because remember, what you practice grows stronger. So if in your tal book your teacher has given you 5 laid in the forum, or 5 for samal nama, or 5 any different types of aspects that you have in your tal, practice them. And if you get them wrong, practice them again so you can see where your mistake is. Lots of kids have this habit is that when they don't understand something, they say, you know what, I'm just going to copy it from my friend.
Mm.
And then they've done themselves a disservice. Practice it. See where you went wrong. Oh, I forgot. This particular word was in a plural form, so I needed to take it as a plural into the next one. You know, it's the small things. That's the thing that happens in tal. Lots of times kids get marked down simply because they didn't look at the question. They said, oh, we're doing meerkat, plural. Yes, and then they're not looking at the word. They're just kind of regurgitating a rule without checking correctly. When it comes to bakhraj stuts, on the other hand, a lot of the times kids falter because they don't read the passage correctly.
Sure.
So I always teach my kids, a lot of the time, you are limited in time. So when you, Mark, so sorry about that.
No problem.
When you're busy with the bakhraj stut, read your questions first. You're not going to understand what they're asking you for exactly, or who was doing something, because you didn't yet read the comprehension. But when you read your questions first, the first time through your comprehension, you immediately pick out answers that are easy. So you've saved time the first time round.
Right.
Then when you read your questions the second time, you know where more or less to look for certain answers. That kind of cuts down your time and gives you more time to be able to get through the entire paper.
Jazakallah so much for that, Appa. Okay, so before we move over to the next one, I think we can come back to poetry before we take the other WhatsApp questions. When it comes back to poetry, Appa, what is the belangrike begrippe in poetry?
The belangrike begrippe in poetry is the way a poem is structured. Ons het strofe, metreim, versreel, and typography. Now, in English, you have your stanzas that are made up of lines, and then you have your rhythm in the poem as well as your topography. Now, many kids make a mistake when it comes to these types of things. So these are your straightforward questions.
Right.
I'd like to also just touch on the fact that they ask ways that these things are asked. So if you ask, hoeveel strofes bestaan hierdie gedig uit? How many stanzas does this poem consist of? It's the same question for any other poem that you're going to get. So you get used to them asking it in that specific kind of way. then they tell you the same thing. How many lines does this poem have? And they're the same. It goes from one poem to another. But when it comes to stuff as rhythma and typography, the rhythm as well as the typography, you need to know your poem. So when you look at the rhythm is, for example, when you look at, in English, they say when you give the rhyming scheme, A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, or whichever other way they fall, this then will then tell you how you would read the poem and how the poem's rhythm would give you either a happy feeling or a sad feeling, or it's an excitement. It tries to build up that excitement. And then when you look at the poem itself is the typography. I'm looking at the poem being written. Where did they skip a line? Why is this line written shorter and that one written so long? Those are the things that kids must look at.
Correct, Papa, that's right. Next question, what is assonancy and alliteracy? Here a voorbeeld.
Okay, so when we talk about assonancy and alliteracy, that's assonance and alliteration. Now, kids make the mistake here. Because of the fact that alliteration is the repetitiveness of the same consonant. So now I'm going to give you one in Afrikaans. So you know the tongue twisters we play when we're young, petty board butter? Got one in Afrikaans for you.
Okay.
So, wie weet waar valie water woon? Valie water woon waar weste van de waai. That is a perfect example of alliteracy. So alliteration, the repeatingness of the W for every word there is. And then that's how you remember it. It's your tongue twister, alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you come to assonance, this is the biggest the hurdle that the kids have. So I'm going to give you two examples. When you think in English, I'm going to give this one in English so it's easy to be understood. If they tell you Adam ate apples, they all start with an A, and that's what the kids think assonance is.
Mm.
They think, okay, because alliteration starts with a consonant, assonance starts with a vowel. It's not like that. It's actually the repeatingness of a vowel sound. So a book and a hook is an example. Book, the O, hook, the O. And that is assonance. So a book and a hook is an example of assonance.
Okay.
Then you get the more difficult ones to pick out. Like, for example, I know the grade 10s do a poem called Tinnis van die Wind. And in there they have one line that says, Leven, Weel, en Weer. It's the repeating of an ear, the E vowel. And that would give you the assonance in that particular line.
Perfect. Jazakallah so much for that, Appa. Another one coming through here saying, the question is, I think they need assistance with it. It says, verdeel die woord tussen hakies, volle dig en lettergrepe. So the sentence is, die slachter hou die mens in sy linkerhand. So linkerhand is in hakies.
Okay, die linkerhand is in hakies.
Tje.
Die linkerhand. So when it comes to lettergrepe, when we talk about that, it's syllables. Kids forget this when they did it in grade 1. Your teacher stood in front of the class and taught you how to clap when you say your words. So when you're saying together, you were clapping three times. Together. So this is literally what you're doing when you do lettergrepe. You are breaking up that into your syllables. So that it will become die, lung, ker, hand if we break it up. Die. Because I can't break D any further.
Okay.
It's one word. It's one syllable. And then lunker can be broken down into lunker. And hunt stays as it. So it will become D, lunker, hunt. I hope that helps.
Yes, definitely. Okay, another one coming through saying, please assist with this one. Gee die persoon's naam van die woord tussen hakies. Die man met die... Yes, I'm in Sehan as D, and then and tussen hakies, skoon maak.
Right. So when it comes to an example like this, they want you to actually make a versamel naam, which is a collective noun in English.
Okay.
Or a word that would give you this word would give you the guy's profession. He's the guy that sweeps with the broom, so he's a cleaner, skoon maker. adding the ER, making it one word.
Perfect. Jazakallah so much. Another one coming through from one of our learners. It says, Gee die antoniem vir die woord tussen hakkies. Ek het dadelik lekker tussen hakkies. It's cool, aangetrek en uitgegaan.
So, the word is cool.
Che.
As in?
K-O-E-L.
Alright. So, yeah, it could be two different things because we use these words, but specifically for this one, not cool as in I'm a cool person.
Che.
It's cool as in cold, right? So, he just was more summery kind of clothes. So we want to do wintery clothes. So then it would change from cool to warm. Ek het warmer kleren aangetrek en uitgegaan.
Perfect. Jazakallah so much. The questions are coming through. Another one saying, Assalamu alaikum. Please can Abba Fatima Zahra assist with indirect rede?
Okay. So when it comes to direct and indirect speech, it's a very long question, but we just to remember three things. The first thing is that when it comes to direct and indirect speech, our leerstekens in Afrikaans, and that would be your punctuation, changes. Nice. You don't have inverted commas. In indirect speech, you would not even have a question mark or an exclamation mark. These are all replaced with words. Right?
Okay.
So to know the difference. If you were being asked a question, you'd use the word fra and there won't be a question mark at the end in a undirected reader sentence. And then for exclamation marks will be replaced with words such as verrassing of opgewonde. So those things would take the place of those punctuation marks. Thereafter, there is a simple method to remember that you're doing it in third person. So when you talk about third person, the third most things that would change are your time words. So like you would say, it happened today. If you're talking in indirect speech, it happened that day. Mm-hmm. Dat het vandaag gebeurd, dat het daar die dag gebeurd. So those change. And then your speaker would be stated. So no man say, and then that would be there. Hij heeft vandaag ontbijt geëet. He had breakfast this morning. So when you change it to indirect speech, no man wouldn't say hey, you'd say ek.
Okay.
Ek eet ontbijt. So ek would change to hey, vandaag would change to daar die dag, and then the sentence would then be stated. So if I'm going to give it to you in an example for me to say, no man say double punt, op en halingstekens, dit is normaal zegt, open inverted commas, ik eet vandaag ontbijt. I eat today breakfast. Sorry, Afrikaans is different. And close en halingstekens. And then if I take it to underrated reader, it would then be normaal zegt, but it first inverted commas changes to the word dat, and then it changes to hey, hey, hier, then it says, ek eet vandag ontbijt. They say that, hey, daar die dag ontbijt, and then our verb always moves, that's our verb, always moves to the end of the sentence, eet at the end.
Perfect. Jazakallah so much. And I think we are the same individual has sent us a sentence, so maybe we'll do this one before we go for our break.
Okay.
But the sentence is, Dirien is een aangename verrassing. So,
and is there no one saying it?
So then it says, Begin so, my oma had uitgeroep.
Okay.
That, and then dot dot dot.
My oma had uitgeroep. Sorry, I'm trying to write it down so
that's
that
right.
I don't forget. I don't miss a word, verrassing.
My oma had gezegd. So they've just got it as Begin so, my oma had uitgeroep dat.
My oma had uitgeroep dat. Die reën een aangename verrassing was. So the full stop.
Okay, so it's easy as that.
Because us is a present tense, and because they use the word het in the answer, it tells you to change it to past tense.
Perfect. JazakAllah so much for that, Abba. Hopefully it answers and assists that learner in answering that question easily. The time has just gone 32 minutes past the hour of 3. It is the On Air Tuition segment, and with us on the line we have Abba Fatima Zahra Japi, who is assisting us with our Afrikaans related questions. We're going to go for a quick break, inshallah. When we come back, we have more for you. Stay tuned. The subject focus this afternoon on the learning curve is Afrikaans, as we do every Friday. And with us on the line, we have Abba Fatima Zahra Japi, a teacher at Alexa High School. Abba is also an impact tutor and, of course, an individual who has much experience in the teaching fraternity. Abba, we're going back to our WhatsApp. So one is saying, Assalamu alaikum. I don't know if Abba would like to take the sentence down, but it says, fault way the aid reckon. So the sentence is, Die patient lyk nie gesond nie. Want hy het 'n ernstige operasie, and then it's an empty space for twee die uitdrukking.
Okay, so die persoon leek nie goed nie. Hy het
'n ernstige operasie.
Okay, so they want you to complete the expression.
Sure.
Right? Then it also Mark, so sorry about that. When it comes to completing an expression, hy het 'n ernstige operasie. It could be from the particular reading piece that they have, because there's many things that can fall it in. I'm just trying to think of what would this have come out from. Maaf about that.
No, not a problem.
So, an ernstige deurgegaan, because he went through a terrible operation. No specific aid does come to mind currently about an operation. But I'm just checking that up once for you, and inshallah I would have a full answer for you in a minute.
That's fine, not a problem. So maybe we can request, if they do have, maybe they might be sitting with a bakhrab or something of that sort, and they had to fill in that that specific part. But maybe we can move on, Abba. The same individual is saying, can Abba please explain the different ways time is written in Afrikaans and when to use which one?
Okay, so date is written in two different manners. It could be just the time itself. For example, 8 uur, 9 uur, which is the time you see on your watch, right?
Okay.
I just gave on the hour. There is different things. Like, for example, if you look at the clock itself, in English, we would say it's a 1:15.
Right?
In Afrikaans, it would be a 1:15. Right? Mm-hmm. After 1.
Sure.
But when you get to the 1:30, we would say it's 1:45. Right?
Okay.
1:45 or 2:45. In Afrikaans, the same thing would work. It's 3:15. But when it comes to 1:30, this is the one where the kids make it gets a little bit confusing. When you get to 1:30, it's always half the hour before something in Afrikaans.
Okay.
So if you want to say 1:01 in Afrikaans, you would say 1:30. Which normally people would read it as 2:30. Right? But in Afrikaans, it would be 1:30. Right?
See.
And then if we, that's the one way that time is written. Then other words is timing words. For example, vandag, morgen, gister. And that's just simply giving you a brief, a specific day, not a time period to say. Hopefully that answers the question.
Gee, and when it comes to, for example, like 8 uur, 6 uur, when are the words together and when do they have a dash? Or if they do have a dash?
So when we look at it, time is written as two words, so it's 8 uur. So it would be normally 2 unless it would be specific at that particular. Say, for example, if I was specifying that specific time for right now,
okay,
then I would then I normally know them as two words. Maaf, I'm so sorry.
No,
I normally know them as two words. But 8 uur, 2 words. Time is always written. I don't know why they would have had a hyphenated one.
No, I think they're just asking. Maybe they might be confused because this learner is asking, is there a hyphenated part of it?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Another question comes from Hafiz Hanzala side.
Gee die verkleen woorde van die woorde reendruppels.
Reendruppels.
Okay.
Right. So the verkleen word van reendruppels would be reendruppelkie.
Okay, K-I-E. K-I-E. Rien, triple key. Perfect, that's the first clean word.
T-J-I-E.
Is it T-J-I-E? Perfect, okay, not a problem. Jazakallah for that, Apa. Another one coming through, we're going to take one more before we end off. It says, skryf die sin oor in die toekomende tyd, jou leeftaal is ook baie negatief.
Ons skryf dit in die?
Toekomende tyd.
Jou leeftaal
is ook
baie negatief. Now, when you get sentences like this, especially with the words us, het, and sal, us and vas, it means that they just change to either or. Right? Okay. So, us becomes vas. So, your leeftaal, vas. Baie, nege, vas ook baie negatief. There was ook in there, right?
Si.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The us changes into vas.
Easy as that. Jazakallah so much.
Sorry, Ma.
Because they asked for the toekomende tyd.
Yeah. Right. Normally when you write, Ma, I'm coming back to time.
Okay.
So sorry. Sometimes on the top of your head, when you're thinking in Afrikaans and you're talking in English.
English, yeah.
I tell my kids all the time, I'll come back to it. So, yes, if they have the same vowel, then they would be written. They would be written hyphenated, or when they have two vowels next to each other.
Okay.
Okay.
So that clarifies it from that side. And we're going to move over to the next one.
The next question is, waarom is hom stealing die woorde as onveer plus volke?
Jammer, ek nik van die vraag gekry het. I didn't catch this question. Go again for it.
Okay, it says, forum is samenstelling, die woord tussen haakjes, onweer plus wolke.
Onweer en wolke. So they want you to make one word.
Correct.
Right? Onweerende wolke.
Perfect. Jazakallah so much for that. Okay, Abba, we've reached time up. And inshallah, what we'll do is next week, if we do have the opportunity, inshallah, again to have Afrikaans in our slot. It depends if our broadcast will be starting early for Ramadan. But inshallah, Abba, we will definitely keep in touch with you. Jazakallah so much for your time on Radio Islam International.
Jazakallah khairan. Just a quick word to the learners,
sure.
Remember that you need to practice. So whatever you practice does become stronger. Mm-hmm. And if they are going to do poetry, because unfortunately we didn't touch on all the different devices that they could,
mm-hmm.
they should familiarize themselves with a lot of irony things. Like, for example, dip a oma. And if you look at it, they'll take a oma and dip her, like dipping your granny. But we know in context it would mean to the parask, you know? So familiarize yourselves with these type of dictions and these types of poetic devices, and inshallah it will become much easier.
I mean, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for that, Apa. We really appreciate your time on Radio Islam International.
It was only a pleasure. Inshallah, everyone, Ramadan Mubarak, and hopefully, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala alleviates this difficult time that we are going through, inshallah.
Amin, inshallah. Jazakallah, Apa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Apa Fatima Zahra Jabi, a teacher at Al-Aqsa High School, as well as an impact tutor joining us on Radio Islam International, assisting us with Tal, Puasi, Paper 1, Paper 2, Paper 3, Hafiz Hansala when it comes to Afrikaans. We really appreciate Apa's time on Radio Islam. Next up, inshallah, is going to be the career segment, but before that, let's go for a quick break. Yes, it's the career segment on the learning curve on Radio Islam International during this lockdown period. And alhamdulillah, for the past 2.5 weeks, we've had different professionals on and telling us more about the different career fields. And if you may be a bit confused on what to study, we have the solution for you. Today, joining us on the line, we have Brother Ahmed Kaji, who is a journalist at Eyewitness News, a founder of AK Productions and freelance radio presenter at CII Radio. He majored in media studies and psychology at Wits University and graduated in 2017. His radio career started in 2016 at VAW FM, which is Voice of Wits. It gives us great pleasure to welcome Brother Ahmed. Jazakallah for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah for having me.
Brother Ahmed Kaji, I understand, yeah, you've been quite busy throughout this lockdown, shooting different videos with SANDF and being out and about. It's a busy time. We really appreciate the time you've given us. Take us through what's the cause about when it comes to media studies and psychology.
Gee, Brother Norman, I think firstly I need to say it's been very, very busy days, early mornings, late nights since the lockdown, but alhamdulillah, Allah is great. He's really blessed us to be able and given us the opportunity to bring the news to the world. Speaking about journalism in terms of from a university level, there is a number of ways a high school student could go through this. If you're happening to study at certain universities, such as Wits University or the University of Cape Town, your journalism degree is generally a post-grad, so you'll probably do a BA general ideally, and you would want to major in media studies because you cover a majority of the theory during your second and third year, and then during post-grad you can go to the Wits Journalism School where you can then do your post-grad in journalism or in journalism and media studies. On the other hand, if you are willing to travel out of Gauteng, or if you happen to be based in the Eastern Cape, then you know the holy grail of journalism is at Rhodes University. So you may want to head down to Makanda, and then that's where your degree will come through. A majority of journalists normally go through Rhodes University, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get through via the various. Like I mentioned, the Wits University postgrad program, and then you also get you know places like Boston Media House, where you can more or less get equivalent degrees.
Awesome, JazakAllah so much for that. Now, if someone is planning on studying journalism or media studies, someone that's in grade 9, they don't know what subjects to choose, would you be able to assist in what subjects are required to get into the specific field of study?
Alhamdulillah, the media studies and journalism field is something that's open to almost everyone, and it's something where you can get in. More in the practical sense, obviously you have to have your proper theoretical understanding to it, which is why I say generally the postgrad programs are really good to go with. I'm just going to touch on the university levels first and then explain how it normally would work when you're going back down to your grade 9 subject. When it comes through to a journalism degree, generally you would want something along the lines of either a diploma with regards to media studies and journalism, or then your degree, or the equivalent degree. That's generally what a job requirement, when you happen to be applying for your when you're applying for a job, that's the academic qualifications that they would want. Therefore, if you would like to be a health journalist, if you happen to choose the sciences when you're in high school, you can then obviously specialize in journalism at a later stage, similarly to law, similarly to business. So that being said, if you happen to want to be a business journalist, then journalism is something where, you know, it kind of grows on you and you can specialize later on. So just because you happen to be a lawyer doesn't necessarily mean that you couldn't become a law journalist. So if you're studying health, that doesn't mean you can't be a health journalist. Therefore, if you would like to go into journalism, your subjects are more or less open through high school. Ideally, what you would like to do is just ensure that your English marks are really good, and so is your so are your other languages. Because if you happen to be studying Zulu or in Afrikaans, you then can get those. You can enter media houses that specialize in those specific languages. So you could join, for an example, a Jacaranda FM if you are really strong in Afrikaans and in English. So ideally, you really want your languages to be at the top of the line when it comes through to journalism. And the great thing about the academic world currently is you want to keep your options as open as possible. So if you happen to take the sciences, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get into journalism at a later stage. So my advice to anyone who is in grade 9 and would like to go into grade 10 and is not particularly sure what subject to take, take the subjects that will open the doors as much as possible. That doesn't necessarily mean that if a person... If they have no intention of going into medicine at a later stage, don't take the subject and may not perform in the best way. You know, keep your options open, but based on your strengths as well. So I think on that front, when it comes to subjects, be as open as you possibly can. Just ensure that your language is up to scratch.
Perfect, JazakAllah so much for that. And besides the languages, can you also tell us what is the APS requirements in order to get accepted for this degree?
So the APS requirements are generally low when it comes through to journalism. If you're looking back at which university I went through, the BA general requirements are relatively low compared to your, you know, BCom marketing, your law, as well as your BSc subject. So ideally, if you would like to look at if you're looking at the APS, you're looking at least your languages being at about a 6 or a 7, and then passing everything as you normally would with a level 4, 5, and 6. I think if you would like to be really safe, perhaps get 6 across your languages and then aim between your your 4, 5, and 6 for your other 5. And inshallah, you will be on your way to a journalism career.
I mean, inshallah, yes, top stuff there. Tell us, what's a typical working day? And I think you'd be able to go on hours speaking about what's a working day like in the journalism field. And of course, you being part of EWN, you're out and about most of the time. And this lockdown has really been extending your hours as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think even Brother Faisal Patel, your colleague, would also be able to testify that when it comes through to journalism, there is almost no 2 days that are the same. There could be a day where it's really quiet, you have a really short day, you're in at the office at 8, you realize it's a really quiet news day, your press conferences are more or less done by 2 or 3, and by 4 p.m. you're out of the office. On the flip side of the coin, if there's unrest in a particular area, protests start at 6 a.m., and they could go on until 6 p.m., and then you just more or less have a very busy day. There are times where there will be, where you'll more or less expect to have long hours. So generally during election period, you know that you're going to have early mornings, late nights for the duration of election day, right through the counting once that's finished, and then you'll also start preparing then for the inauguration. At times like this, we are in completely unprecedented times. Many journalists, I think for the world, we've never seen anything like this. I think the last time the world actually experienced the plague was the 1920s. So it's been a good 100 years, and journalism has changed completely. So on that front, there's no 2 days that are really are the same, which is actually a bit of a rush if you think about it. You do have the standard where we normally go in at 8 o'clock to have a meeting with our editors to find out exactly what stories we'll be going to, what press conferences we'll be going to. But that is only subject to change because breaking news can happen at any time.
That's so true. And tell us, what's the scope like in this particular degree?
Speaking with regards to the scope, there's so many different elements and outcomes that you can go through. Like I mentioned, that you can enter into the health field, you can enter into the law field, and we've seen this many a times where business practitioners, you know, therefore do like post grad diploma, just get the basic understanding of what news values are, what newsworthiness is. And then you could host a business show. I mean, we've seen that with Bruce Whitfield at 702 and 567, where, you know, there's a large business background, but you can also understand that, you know, journalism is a central part of that, where you're still holding people accountable for maladministration, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to journalism, as much as, and I'm sure many of your colleagues will also say, is that the pay may not be as great, and I'm sure you'll be touching on this a bit later on, but the experiences that you gain, and anyone who, and I think this is something that I've always learned from journalism, is you realize your poverty in the face of extreme wealth, and you also realize your wealth in the face of extreme poverty. You learn new, you learn different perspectives, you'll see exactly the different lives that people live. And that's one of the most rewarding parts of it, because it really makes you grateful for everything that you've been blessed with.
Yes, definitely indeed. And quickly before we end off, as you have mentioned that we're going to be touching on pay, what would be the average pay like on the starting, be it you in any type or, as you've mentioned, the different types of journalism, but what can someone expect in the media field?
So internships really start off at about between 6,000 and 8,000 rand a month, because most of the time it's based on experience and you really time to pay your dues. So journalism is one of those fields where you end up earning quite little at the beginning. It's not a high paying career, but you really do get a lot of life experience, and as you become more senior, obviously your pay would increase accordingly. But once you're a full-time journalist, you're more or less looking at your entry pay being between 12 and 14,000 rand per month. And then most media houses would have regulations in where medical aid is covered in your salary. That is just due to regulations being placed that if you happen to be injured in the field, you will be covered by private hospital care. I think that being said, one of the most important factors when it comes to journalism is practice and having some sort of portfolio. to anyone who would like to get into it, should honestly try getting started on portfolio as soon as possible. And thanks to websites and thanks to social media, if you'd like to be a journalist in terms of writing, if you'd like to write, you can always just start your own blog. If you're going to an interview, you can always just go and say, listen, this is the stuff I've already done. Please take a look. It shows the potential that you have. And one of the reasons you would also see at university, and I'm sure the matriculants will be listening to this, is, you know, join the campus radio station, go look for your community radio stations or community newspapers. Because if you start getting your experience now, as soon as you get that degree, you can go in and say, look, along with my 3-year degree or my 4-year degree that I've studied, I have 3 years worth of writing experience or 3 years worth of radio experience. And that really goes a long way. So get started as soon as possible. That would be the biggest advice I could say. Hold your portfolio and show that hunger. Most editors look for initiatives. And that really goes a long way.
Awesome stuff. Jazakallah so much, Brother Ahmed Kaji. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you and for enlightening our listeners. And inshallah, we hope to speak to you very soon.
Inshallah, I mean, Jazakallah for having me. I will be sending you my social media handles. If anyone would like to get in touch with me, please feel free to do so. It's at Ahmed Kaji, one word, AhmedKajee, across all social media platforms. If anyone would like to get in touch with me, that's the best way to do it. But Jazakallah for having me. I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. I know you're running for the 4 p.m.
Jazakallah so much. Assalamu alaikum. That is Brother Ahmed Kaji, a journalist at Eyewitness News, a founder of AK Productions and freelance radio presenter at CIA Radio. Also, he's majored media studies in psychology at Pitt University, graduated in 2017. It's been a jam-packed program on the learning curve, and it's been awesome being in your company. Jazakallah to all those that have interacted. For myself, Noman Panjwai, Hafiz Hansala Havaji, Brother Ziad. We'll be back with you, inshallah, tomorrow on the Nizam Hour. Till then, assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.